Well, good morning. It's good to be here this morning. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Romans chapter 7. I sure have enjoyed the music here this morning. Romans chapter number 7. And when you found that, if you will, go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word. Romans chapter 7, we'll be reading verses 1 through 6. Verse 1, it says, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of the husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motion of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter." Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for another wonderful day of life that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to come into your house today on your special day, Father. We pray that, you would use me as your vessel this morning, Father. I pray that you would touch some hearts today with your message, Father. I pray, Lord, I'm unworthy to preach your message today. But I pray that you would use me, Father. You've called me to preach, and I pray that you would use me today. Speak to the hearts of your people, Father. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage, I've been doing a study through the book of Romans the last couple of weeks or so, and it's interesting how everything kind of fits together. You read through one chapter of the book of Romans, and it's hard to understand the next chapter if you haven't read the previous chapter. The first chapter, just to give you a brief synopsis of where we're at here, the first chapter, Romans chapter 1, talks about the Gentiles being guilty before God. Chapter 2 talks about the Jews being guilty before God. Chapter 3 says basically because the Gentiles were guilty before God and the Jews are guilty before God, the world is guilty before God. And the second half of chapter 3 talks about because the world is guilty before God, we all are in need of salvation. We all must be justified by faith. Well, we'll skip over to chapter number 6. Chapter number 6 talks about how those of us who are saved, those of us who have been born again, we are dead to our sin. And that kind of leads over to, and that's a message in itself, we're dead to our sin. Our sin is no longer alive in us, and we have no need, we have no reason to serve our sin now that it is dead. But I want to point out in chapter 7 now, this passage that we just read, knowing that our sin is dead, Paul paints a beautiful picture here in chapter number 7, talking about marriage. He refers to the fact that because we are dead in our sin, just in the same way, those of you who know your Bibles, what the Bible has to say about marriage and the grounds of the grounds of divorce and remarriage, divorce is allowed mainly only in the case of death. When a woman is married to her husband and she decides to leave her husband just because she doesn't want to be with him anymore and she moves on to another man, she is an adulteress, as the Bible says. But if the husband is dead, she is able to move on to another husband. Here in chapter number 7, Paul paints this beautiful picture of the fact that there was a point in time where we were married to our sin. We served our sin. I mean, everything that we did revolved around what we wanted to do. It revolved around our sin. It revolved around the lust of our sin, and we were it was almost like we were married to our sin because everything that we did was to please our sin. But our sin, now that we have been saved, once we have been saved, we are no longer married to our sin. We move from being married to our sin to being married to Christ. And I want to point. Could you imagine this? How many married folks do we have in here today? Okay? Could you imagine being, I want you to just imagine this in your head. Imagine being married to someone who you have done literally everything for. I mean, you are there for constantly, anytime they need you, you are there for them, and they don't communicate with you. They don't ever talk to you. They come home every day and they don't say a thing to you. They completely ignore you all the time. They don't say, I mean, it's almost like you're not even in their life, but guess what? When you need something, who do they come to? They come to you. And so I want to paint this beautiful picture of, I want to talk about this beautiful picture that Paul painted here of us being married to Christ. Us being married to Christ. Now, notice, as I mentioned, notice in verse 3 here, that we were divorced from our sin, that once we became saved, if you are saved, you are married to Christ, but in order to be married to Christ, we must be divorced from our sin. In verse number 3, it says, "Then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man." As Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. You're either going to serve your sin or you're going to serve Christ. And I want to point out to you, the first point I want to bring to you is recognizing who you're married to. Recognizing who you're married to. Are you married to sin or are you married to Christ? Jesus made it very clear that whoever you serve is who you love. If you serve your sin, you love your sin. If you serve Christ, you cannot serve both. And so in order to be married to Christ, in order to have that relationship with Christ, you must first be divorced from your sin. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 32. Just hold your place there if you would. Matthew 5 and verse 32. You don't even have to look it up if you don't want to. Jesus said, "But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. Whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery." You know, if we're living in sin, I mean, before salvation, we're not saved. We're doing what we want to do. Christ is not a part of our lives. And then all of a sudden we decide that we want to serve God. We want to show up to church and we want to serve God. We've not been saved, but we want to serve Him anyway. You know, Paul is painting this picture here saying that that's adultery. You cannot serve two masters at the same time. You must be divorced from one and move on to the other. And in order to be divorced from your sin has to be dead. Amen. But once we are divorced from sin, we are remarried to Christ. Look in verse 4. It says, "Therefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye shall be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." So what Paul is trying to say here is that we were once, as we just said, we were once married to our sin. But once we were divorced, we are to be married to another. That other is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you this morning about your marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're not saved, you're not married to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're still married to your sin. I want to take you back. Hold your places right here and go back to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter number 18. And verse number 9, we'll read 9 through 14. It says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised other. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes in all that I possess.' And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote unto his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me. So here, Jesus is telling this parable of two men, the Pharisee and the publican. Now, the Pharisee comes into the temple, and he lays down his good works. He said, God, I thank you that I'm a good person, and I thank you that I do this, and I thank you that I do that. I thank you that I'm not as bad as this other man here. You know, I come in and I'm faithful to church and I give my tithe and I do all these things. Lord, I thank you that I'm better than this other man here. And then the second man comes in, the publican, and the only thing he had to say was, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now Jesus said in verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So here we have this one man, lost as can be. He's depending on his good works to get him to heaven. He says, I'm a good person. He tries to serve God, but he hasn't humbled himself. He's not been saved. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. If you have not been saved, you have nothing that you can possibly do for God. Unless you have been saved, when you try to do things for God, it's almost like you're not doing anything. Let me tell you, you need to be saved if you want a relationship with God. Amen. Marriage to good works is like marriage to sin. Because Isaiah said, the Lord said in Isaiah 64:6 that our righteousness is as of filthy rags. You know, if you try to do something on your own, that doesn't mean anything to God. I mean, you're handing a nasty little dirty rag that's been who knows where to God and saying, God, this is what I have to offer. Could you imagine the look on his face? Ew, I don't want that. You must be saved if you want to do something for the Lord. So we have to recognize who we are married to. I want you to ask this question. Who are you married today? Who are you married to today? Are you married to your sin? Or are you married to the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're married to your sin, you need to be saved. And I ask that if you realize that you need to be saved, that you'll come forward this morning, that you'll be saved. But I want you to recognize who you're married to. But secondly, we need to serve who we are married to. Go back to our text in Romans chapter number 7. Romans chapter number 7. Verses 4, 5, and 6. The Bible says, Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motion of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. You know, you serve who you love. Let me just say that again. You serve who you love. Amen. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to serve him. Now, here, Jesus is in a marriage. You have to serve your spouse if you want to have a good marriage. And let me tell you something. If you love that person, it's a privilege to serve them. I remember when my mom and dad, when I was a kid, my mom and dad, when they were still together, they're divorced now, but my mom loved my dad. I mean, she loved him with everything she had. She loved my dad. And my dad, I remember just about every morning, my mom would come into the room and bring my dad breakfast in bed. Some of you husbands might be saying, hey, you should do that for me. But, you know, you serve who you love. Let me ask you a question. How much do you love your Savior? Are you willing to give yourself to him? Are you willing to serve him? Are you willing to give him your very best? It's a privilege to serve someone you love. We ought to serve the Lord. We ought to serve God if we love him. Why is it that we have people that show up to church on Sunday morning and they say, Lord, I love you, praise you, I praise you, Lord, but they don't ever show up for soul winning in the middle of the week? Why is it that we have people that say, Lord, I love you, but don't ever ask them to do something for the Lord because they're too busy? We ought to be willing to completely give ourselves to the Lord if we really love Him. We ought to show up for soul winning. If we really love Him, we want to serve Him. We want to give Him everything that we possibly can. We want to get as involved in this church as we possibly can. We want to find a ministry that we can get involved in. Show up and find out what you can do. Show up during the week. You have a little bit of extra time. Show up to the church and say, what can I do to help this ministry? Amen. Get on a bus route. Show up and find out what you can do to serve your Savior. We not only serve who we love, but we serve who loves us. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Hold your place here. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 25. Many of you probably know this verse. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. You know, Jesus loved us so much that He completely gave Himself for us. He gave everything He had to offer. I mean, I couldn't imagine giving for anybody what Christ gave for us. Amen. Completely laying down His life for us because He loved us so much. Amen. He gave Himself for us. Why won't we give ourselves for Him? You know, I've heard people say, oh, I'd be willing to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, He doesn't want you to die for Him. He wants you to live for Him. Right. Serve Him. Give yourself to Him. Amen. Give Him everything that you have to offer. You know, this verse right here, husbands love your wives, as we know, it's also followed by wives submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. But loving and submitting is a two-way street. If you expect your wives to submit to you, you better love them. Amen. And in the same way, Christ loved us. He gave everything for us. We ought to be willing to serve Him. Amen. Thirdly, I want you to see we ought to submit to who we are married to. We ought to recognize who we're married to. We ought to serve who we're married to. Thirdly, we ought to submit to who we are married to. Back in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. I want you to go back here to Romans chapter 7. Back to our text, I want you to look at the very first verse. Romans chapter 7 and verse 1. Paul starts this passage by saying, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. What am I trying to say here? I'm saying if you're married to Christ, His law reigns over you. You ought to be willing to submit to Him. You ought to be willing to say, God, I'll do whatever You want me to do. My life is Yours. I am Yours. I want to give You everything that I can possibly give You. My life is Yours. We ought to submit ourselves to God. We ought to do what He tells us to do. And by the way, not only in whether or not, I don't know if we have any teenagers here who have surrendered to full-time ministry, but we ought to surrender not only in terms of full-time ministry, but just in the basic things, just in the little things, like what we said earlier, like showing up for soul winning. Amen. Like being here for Sunday school. Like being faithful to church. If we're not willing to submit to Him in the little things, how can we expect Him to give us more? How can we expect Him to tell us His plan for our lives if we're not even being faithful in the little things? Amen. I want to ask you a question. Have you completely submitted your life to God? Have you completely given yourself to Him and said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do? Stop waiting for a special message for Him to say, I want you to do this. I want you to, teenagers, I want you to go to Bible college. I want you to go to the ministry or whatever. Just be faithful in the little things. Be faithful in giving your tithe. I know sometimes that can be, sometimes that's not always an easy thing to do if we don't make very much. But we ought to be faithful to Him because He told us to do it. Malachi 3:8, the Bible tells us that if we're not giving our tithe, we're robbing God. You know the difference between robbing and stealing? Stealing is in the absence of the owner, but robbing is in the presence of the owner. Do you know that when you show up to church on Sunday morning and you don't give your tithe, you're standing right in front of God and stealing from Him right before His very eyes? We ought to be faithful in the little things. We ought to submit ourselves to God, but we also ought to submit ourselves to others who have the rule over us. I know you all don't have a pastor right now, but when you call a man to be your pastor, submit to him. Do what he tells you to do. Show up and ask him what you can do to help him. You know, submission to your pastor is submission to the Lord. The Lord appointed our pastor over us. The Lord is the one who told our pastor to feed us, to feed the flock. You know, I've heard some people say, well, I don't have to follow my pastor, I just have to follow the Lord. Well, how are you following the Lord if you're not following your pastor? Right. Parents, support your pastor over your children. I don't know, do you guys have a Christian school here? I don't know. No, okay. Well, I know I was a member at Westgate Baptist Church here in Tampa for a while, and they have a Christian school. And I know one thing that used to irritate the staff more than anything was when they would one of the kids would misbehave in the school, and they would punish the kid. They would give him, I don't know, demerits or whatever it was that they had, and the parents would come up to the staff saying, "Why'd you give my kid a demerit? Well, he probably deserved it. Why don't you support those who have the rule over you?" You know, when you I heard so many people that just they. Their pastor preaches a message and they just come up to him and they say, Pastor, I just don't agree with that. Who cares if you agree with it? Submit to your pastor. Do what your pastor tells you to do. You know, it's amazing how the people that I, the church members that I see who are not willing, the parents that I see who are not willing to submit to the pastor, or they submit to him in certain areas, they say, well, that I agree with, but that I don't agree with. So I'm, you know what? Submit to him. How in the world do you expect your children to submit to you and everything that you tell them to do if you're not willing to submit to whoever is in authority over you? No wonder why we have a rebellious generation today. Our children are learning. The children are learning from the adults. We ought to be willing to submit to our pastor. We ought to be willing to submit to anybody else who has the rule over us. Children, submit to your parents. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Well, what if my parents aren't doing right? Submit to them. It doesn't say you have to agree with them, but you need to submit to them. You know, I know of a man by the name of Brother Adam Rivero. Maybe some of you know him. He's the youth director at Westgate Baptist Church. He grew up a Lutheran. And his parents put him in Westgate Christian School. And he got saved at Westgate Christian School. And once he got saved, he wanted to start going to church at Westgate. Because he was taught from the Bible that we ought to be part of a scriptural church. But his parents wanted him to remain loyal at the Lutheran church. Now, he was taught what was right. And he wanted to do what was right, and his parents were hindering him from doing what was right. But the Bible says that we ought to obey our parents in the Lord, for this is right, children. Teenagers, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Fourthly and lastly, I want to point out we need to recognize who we're married to. We ought to serve who we're married to. We ought to submit to who we're married to. But lastly, we ought to make time for who we're married to. Turn with me, if you would, to James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4, we'll just read four verses out of that, 7 through 10. James chapter number 4 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you." Notice this, "Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." I want to ask you a question. Is God really first in your life? Have you dedicated yourself to him? To doing whatever he would have you to do? Do you spend time with him every day? You know, I want to ask you, husbands, what would your relationship with your wife be like if you didn't talk to him? Wives, what would your relationship with your husbands be like if you didn't talk to your husband? We do that to God all the time. How many, we go weeks sometimes without talking to God. Could you imagine? I mean, he loves us so much that he wants to take care of us. I mean, and he wants to be there for us, and he wants to comfort us when we're hurting. Sometimes we need that. A lot of times we need that. We'll be hurting. Life gets stressful sometimes. And God looks down at us and he sees the suffering that we're going through, but we refuse to go to him. Why is that? He desires to have a relationship with you. We ought to have a relationship with him. What's your relationship like with God? How much time do you give him every day? What's your devotional life like? Do you neglect him? Are there other things in your life that are more important to him? Does he really have the preeminence in your life? I want to say, if he's not first in your life, I encourage you, come down today. Come to the altar today and tell him that you want him first in your life. I remember there was a man that was very close to at Westgate Baptist. His name was Thomas is probably known, Brother Tim Benefield. One time he was sharing a devotion with us. He and his wife had just had their first child, and he would sometimes come home from a long day at work, and the first thing he would want to do was spend some time with his son. And he would go to, and sometimes his son, you know, he'd come home and his son would be playing on the floor with his cars. And he'd come over to him, and he'd want to hug him and love on him, and he'd go and pick up his son and just hug him and love on him and just kind of spend a little bit of time with him. And sometimes his son would cooperate, and sometimes he wouldn't cooperate. Sometimes his mind was still on playing with his cars on the floor. And, all he wanted to do was spend some time with his son. Well, sometimes he would pick up his son, and his son was like, "Hey, I want to go back. I was doing something. I had something going on." You know, how many times does God want to spend time with us? And we say, "God, I don't have time for you right now. I got things going on in my life right now." He loves us. He wants to spend time with us. Amen. Why don't we spend time with him? Amen. I want to share with you one of the best pictures of love that I've ever seen in the Bible. Is the love that Hosea had for his wife. His wife wasn't faithful to him. The Lord purposely had Hosea marry a harlot. And his wife wasn't faithful to him, but no matter how unfaithful she was to him, he was always faithful to her. And it didn't matter what she did. She could go out and cheat on him with five other men. But when she came back, he always received her. Let me tell you something. If you've been cheating on the Lord, if you've been serving your sin, instead of serving the Lord, I want to tell you, he wants you back. He wants you back so bad. And it's just like the prodigal son. When the prodigal son strayed, as soon as he came back, his father was waiting for him and he welcomed him home with open arms. I want to tell you, if you've strayed from the Lord, he's ready to welcome you home with open arms. Won't you come to him today? Won't you tell him you love him? Won't you tell him that you want to serve him? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for another wonderful day of life that you've given us. We thank you for bringing us here today. We pray that you would work in each and every one of our hearts, Father, that you would help us to be faithful in this marriage with you, Father, that you'd help us to love you the way we ought to, that you would help us to be faithful to you as you are faithful to us. Father, we pray that you would, Lord, I don't know if there's maybe some here who maybe don't know what I'm talking about, that don't know anything about having a marriage with Christ, know a little bit about God, or maybe even know a lot about God, but have never truly been born again. Father, I pray that if there's any here today that have never been saved, that don't know what that relationship with you is like, Father, I pray that they come today. I pray that you would burden their hearts, that you would bring them to your altar today, that they would be saved, Father. Father, I pray that you would help the rest of us, those of us who have been saved, who are in this relationship with you, but maybe have not been as faithful to you as we ought to be. Father, I pray that you would help them to come. Lord, I know that you're waiting for us to come back to you. Father, I pray that you would burden our hearts, Lord, and help us to realize how much we need you, how desperate we are for you, Father. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a message of invitation. If there's anybody here today that has never been saved, that don't know what it's like to have this relationship with God, but you'd like to know, let me ask you to bow your heads one more time. I want to ask you today, is there anybody here today that say, Preacher, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what it's like to have a marriage with God. I read my Bible, or maybe I pray, but sometimes I just feel like God doesn't hear my prayer. Preacher, I need to be saved. Is there anybody like that here today that would say, I've never been saved. If I died right now, I don't know for sure that I'm saved. I don't know for sure that I would spend eternity in heaven, but I sure would like to know. Is there anybody like that here today? Would there be one that just say, I'm not saved, but I need to be saved? I'd like to hear how I need to be saved. Is there anybody like that here today? Okay. How many of you here would be willing to say, Preacher, I've been saved, but I've not been living for the Lord like I ought to. I've not been submitting to his will. I've not given myself to him. Is there anybody here like that today? They would say, I need to rededicate my life to the Lord. My walk with the Lord is not what it should be. Okay, you can put your hands down. Thank you. We're going to have a message of invitation. And if you need to come and have business with God, if there's somebody here that's never been saved, but you need to be saved, I encourage you, come up here during the invitation and ask one of us how you can be saved. We'd be more than happy to share it with you how you can be saved. If you need to get your life right with God, maybe there's some things in your life, maybe God's not been preeminent in your life, but you'd like to make him preeminent in your life, I'd just like to ask you that you come today as the music plays.